Our scripture lesson, our only scripture lesson today is from the 16th chapter of Mark. This is what is known as the shorter ending of Mark's gospel. And it's a bit different from the Easter we probably have in our heads. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And all that had been commanded them, they told briefly to those around Peter. And afterward, Jesus himself sent out through them, from east to west, the sacred and imperishable proclamation of eternal salvation. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's no Jesus in this resurrection passage. You noticed that, didn't you? There's no Jesus until the very, very end, but there's no Jesus grabbing Mary. There's no Jesus appearing to the disciples clustered in the upper room. And I think that's why this is an important passage for us to read for Easter this year. Because we've gotten to the point, perhaps, where we take being Easter people for granted. The resurrection is coming. The disciples, all afraid of coronavirus, are huddled in the upper room 6 feet apart. That's the normal narrative for this Sunday. And then Jesus appears in the upper room, or the women go to the tomb and the gardener is really Jesus. And then the men don't believe the women and the men have to have a foot race back to the tomb. And so this year, let's look at it in its most basic form, in Mark's account of the resurrection. The Sabbath is over. It's the first time possible to go touch a dead body. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome, they brought the spices to anoint the body. And they are doing very practical things. They are very practical church women. They have the things. The only problem is, who's going to let them into the tomb? They get there, the tomb is already open, and there's somebody there. And it's kind of scary, and it's kind of creepy. And as angels, as heavenly messengers tend to do, the first thing this one says is, "Don't be afraid, don't be alarmed, don't be frightened." We get that back in the Lucan narrative when Gabriel appears to Mary and when the angels appear to the shepherds. Do not be afraid. He has been raised. He is not here. Now, that is not something that just happens. If you go back 100, 200 years in our history, there was a whole time period where people were so afraid of being buried alive that when they buried the body, they tied a string to a bell and down into the casket so that the person, if they were buried alive, could ring the bell and get out. If you're like my household this last couple of weeks, you have spent way too much time on the internet. The internet has lots of things about the living dead. It's a TV show. It's a zombie apocalypse. It's this, it's that, it's the other thing. There are even zombie Jesus memes. Those are scary because when people die, they're supposed to stay dead. Death is permanent. Death is forever. Apologies to the diamond industry. Death does not get overturned. So when the women get there on that first Easter Sunday, early on the first day of the week, they are expecting death. And they are prepared for death. They have their spices, they have their wraps, they have everything they need. They are prepared for a dead body. They probably have Kleenex. They don't get that, though. They don't get anybody. And so they are both, as Mark puts it, seized with terror and amazement. Because this is not what is supposed to happen. You are just supposed to go to the graveside and get the body ready. It is as if you went 3 days after the funeral to put flowers on the grave, and the grave was dug up, and there was somebody there who said to you, "Oh, don't worry about it. He's not here. He's risen." In this, we see once again that God is not content with the world operating the way we think it should operate. You may notice that there is a tie-in to how the world is currently operating. People who were not essential 6 months ago are suddenly essential. Things are different. And so here we stand on an Easter morning, and I hope that this Easter you are able to capture terror and amazement. Be afraid, because the God we follow turns everything upside down. The God we follow is crucified and risen. The God we follow is the King of the Jews, who is crucified with a mocking, derogatory sign that says that over his head. We are people who, contrary to everything else we've been taught, think that an empty tomb is the best thing ever, yet complain about hollow chocolate bunnies at Easter because they should be full of chocolate. It is terrifying to realize that the world doesn't work the way we think it does and that we're not in control. It is also amazing. It is powerful to realize that death is not the end. And I think that's a message that we particularly need to hear right now. It is a message of power and a message of promise. But if it's not so simple as I live and then I die and then whatever happens, happens, then what? So ultimately the women go and they find Peter and the people around Peter, and then God sends them out east and west to tell the imperishable and sacred proclamation of eternal salvation. Those are as big a words as Mark is going to use in his entire gospel. I think the other piece to take from this for us today is that the women don't need to see Jesus to believe. They're terrified, they're amazed, but they go tell that he is not there, he is risen. And we can tell that same message of salvation in our terror and our amazement as well. So as we go from here to nowhere, I mean, you're not going to have dinner with family. You're not going out to eat. There's no Easter buffet. As we go to the other room, to the kitchen, to the refrigerator, go with some amazement. You can take a little terror with you too. You can have a side order of terror. Go with some amazement, but go with the sacred and imperishable proclamation of eternal salvation, because ultimately, we don't need to see it if we believe it. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.